And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. And I'm a homeschool father of five. We're raising our children out here in the 21st century at a time when government is seven times the size that it was back in 1913. At a time when the family is in 10 times worse shape than it was in 1960. At a time where the faith is disappearing. So the family is weakening. Our social structures are weakening. Our political systems are far more tyrannical than they've ever been. And to boot, we have the faith virtually dying, at least getting more and more wishy-washy, even jellyfishy, you name it. But in the midst of all of this, we believe that there is great hope because where there's a generational vision, where there is a vision, people will not perish. And he that keeps the law, happy is he. So the Bible presents ultimately the standards by which we establish godly, healthy families, churches, and communities. We're going back to the book. We're going back to the book on this program, and we are pointing out the points of departure. It was the universities. It was the education systems that ultimately set the direction for the nation. So, you know, you're a little bothered by the fact that the faith is dying, a little bothered by the fact that governments are seven times more powerful than they were 100 years ago, you're a little more bothered by the fact that the family is disappearing. Friends, the reason for this is because of certain ideas that are taught, that are inculcated by the masses, and the trajectory is set ultimately by education and by, of course, the culture and the mass culture that does a lot of the educating. So remember, it's not just the schools, it's also the mass culture that does all of this. Well, all that said, people are still in shock after the 2012 elections because it appears that America is going towards socialism. America is continuing to embrace basically non-conservative liberal policies on things like homosexuality, the growth of government, and abortion. So for this reason, Americans are a little uptight. Hobby Lobby is a little upset. And a lot of Christian ministries are upset because there appears to be an imposition of government tyranny upon these ministries, encouraging them to provide abortifacients and such for their employees and those that work with the ministries. So with all of that happening, I think people are waking up and realizing that we are in trouble. And, of course, that's what we've been saying in this basement for the last 10 years. We are in trouble. And so you have guys like Ron Paul who have now backed away from politics. Dave, it's interesting that apparently he is not running again. He has worked in the Congress for, what, 25, 30 years now and ran for president at least 3 to 4 times as far as I can remember. He did not win. And so he came out with a farewell address recently. And, Dave, some of the comments in his farewell address I think very instructive. Now, Ron Paul is important because Ron Paul is still trying to do the best that he can to bring some fiscal sense to Washington, D.C., or has for a long time. He was hoping to bring an audit to the Federal Reserve. He was hoping to somehow decrease the size of government, bring the troops home and defend the borders, and sort of do the sorts of things that governments ought to be doing, and that is protect your people, instituting systems of defense and justice, and pretty much leaving everything else for everybody else. Well, here in the farewell address, Dave, he talks about the homeschooling movement. In fact, as he talks about any kind of free future hope for the nation, it's homeschoolers that appear on the scene. He says, expect the rapidly expanding homeschooling movement to play a significant role in the revolutionary reforms needed to build a free society with constitutional protections. We cannot expect a federal government-controlled school system to provide the intellectual ammunition to combat the dangerous growth of government that threatens our liberties. All right, that's Ron Paul, one of the most important, quote-unquote, conservative congressmen that this nation has ever had. And he's finally backing away from office, and he's saying, you want any success for the cause of liberty in the future? You want a free society based on constitutional protections? It's going to be the homeschooling movement. Is that a shock for you, Dave? He's talking about the homeschooling movement. That's us. He's talking about us. Well, and Dave, I mean, this is about 3 million kids who have been weaned off of the socialist education program in America.
Ron Paul's likes a small government. He does not like public schools. So in that sense, it does not surprise me. I'm not sure that Ron Paul really makes a distinction between a home school and a private school. All he knows is that he does not want the government running. And he knows that the public school system has created people who vote socialist because they're raised in a socialist incubator. The schools themselves are socialist. And that's what you get. You get socialists educated by the National Education Association and the approved textbooks and the approved government curriculum in order to create nice little citizens that work in the little socialist mechanism. And he's absolutely right. We've been saying that for a long time, that you cannot get freedom until you start exercising freedom, teaching freedom. And you don't do that when you send your kids to the public schools.
They've, you know, the Worldview Academies, the Creation Ministries, the small conservative colleges, a lot of them will tell you that they wouldn't exist or they would be much, 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 much smaller if it was not for the homeschooling movement. In fact, I interviewed a Worldview instructor who was doing some kind of Worldview camps around the United States, and he said 70% of those who participate in the program come from homeschooling backgrounds, meaning that, friends, you know, whatever is substantially making an impact or trying to make an impact with a distinctively biblical worldview in the area of thinking, education, politics, you name it, it generally comes from homeschoolers. Hey, you name one other Christian organization or conservative organization that is as effective as Teen Pact or with the Patrick Henry College teen program that we've talked about before on this program. You name somebody else who's Generation Joshua is the one I'm thinking of. If you name another organization like Generation Joshua or Teen Pact that brings together Christian kids with a distinctively Christian slash conservative worldview and are making some kind of an impact on elections around this country today, and I think you're going to find there are almost no other organizations, no other groups of people, no other educational philosophy, no other organizations that are contributing to the cause of liberty and the principles upon which America was founded than the homeschooling movement. So, somebody needs to show me something else going on where we're getting back to distinctively Christian ideas and we're beginning to fight the good fight of ideas in the worldview area. And I tell you, Dave, again and again and again, you're going to come up with homeschooling conferences, homeschooling conferences, homeschooling conferences. And I know there have been lots and lots and lots of efforts to secularize home education. And there's a fair amount of pressure upon homeschooling leaders. I hear this amongst our homeschooling leaders today to broaden the tent, secularize homeschooling, be all things to all people, allow for the Wiccans and the socialist homeschoolers and the humanist homeschoolers and the godless homeschoolers to all be one happy family under one big old tent. So there is that effort. And of course, that's what the devil usually does. He tends to synthesize the good things that happen and water it down to the point where it's not really not creating much of anything good at all. So, Dave, there is something good that has happened. There has been a battle that has been fought. Now, granted, there are efforts right now to water that down, and homeschooling organizations are probably working more and more towards the mainstream and are trying not to distinguish themselves in terms of their worldview ideas the way they used to in the 1980s and 1990s. Nevertheless, we took a good shot at it. There has been a true concerted effort to salvage faith, family, and freedoms and a distinctively biblical worldview in the homeschooling movement, unlike anything you see among the Christian schools, you know, the Lutheran schools, the classical schools, the charter schools, and all the others. Homeschooling has managed to cut out a tiny piece of maybe 2 or 3 million kids and accomplish something significant. And Dave, even if we could get 150,000 epistemologically self-conscious young people together and they had some kind of a social consciousness about, you know, getting involved and bringing a biblical worldview to bear in the area of politics or the area of culture or what have you, I mean, we're going to see tremendous things happen in the future, tremendous things. But it all begins in those homeschooling conferences where speakers will direct themselves to worldview issues, and you have leaders in those states with guts and the courage to stand up, engage the battle of ideas, and bring some of these ideas to bear in homeschooling conferences across America. That, my friends, is bearing tremendous fruit even to this day. And I want to encourage homeschooling leaders who may be a little downtrodden, they may be a little tired, they've been doing this for a long time. Hey, friends, you are the golden goose that's laying the golden eggs. And we will do what we can to encourage you. We don't want the golden goose to die. And if it's going to get a little iffy, we're going to put the golden goose on life support systems. And we're going to continue to encourage homeschooling to wean our folks from the public school systems and begin to understand and work their way through a distinctively biblical worldview and hopefully pass that on to their children. Because if we don't get this into a generational movement, Dave, we are dead in the waters.
And that's what we're about. It's about a generational movement. Now, Ron Paul, in his farewell speech, says this: "I've thought about this a lot. Those of us who believe in liberty as a solution have done so poorly in convincing others of its benefits. If liberty is what we claim it is, the principle that protects all personal, social, and economic decisions necessary for maximum prosperity and for the best chance for peace. It should be an easy sell. And here's, I think, the problem.
Okay.
Ron Paul wants liberty, but he's not there to declare the God and the law that gives us that liberty. He wants liberty without the God of liberty in the public square. He wants a morality, but a morality that is somewhat divorced from the God who gives that morality. Now, you know, understand that Ron Paul is one of the good guys in terms of trying to shrink the size of government, trying to get back to a hard currency. He was a doctor, you know, prior to being in public life as a politician. But he's missing this very, very key aspect that we are to follow the laws, the dictates of God, and then we get liberty.
Agreed. Agreed. But let's say this, that homeschooling has really, I think, Dave, put some effort into bringing a biblical worldview back. And part of a biblical worldview is biblical ethics. Now, maybe he's missing this. Maybe he doesn't understand that's why homeschooling has been somewhat successful at training young people and getting them out of this liberal trajectory, this generational apostasy trajectory that seems to move towards a pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-big government, pro-socialistic worldview. And Dave, I just saw a recent survey, and I can't remember exactly where I picked it up, but it was a news story recently that came off on a major news source. What they determined, Dave, is that young people are far more pro-socialist than the older folks. The older folks from the older generation, 17% in favor of what is known as socialism. Younger folks, we're talking the folks that have been educated in the schools up to this point, about 48 to 49% are pro-socialist. I mean, they like the word. They not only do the socialism thing, they like the word as well. So, I mean, at one time, America was turning socialist and has for a long time, and Americans support that, but they didn't like the word. Well, now, a lot of young people, a vast majority of the young people, as opposed to the previous generation, support socialistic ideas. And we're certainly seeing that on survey after survey after survey after survey. And homeschooling is able, I think, Dave, to bring a biblical worldview based upon God's laws and God's ethics to bear and to train our children in these things. And that's one reason why I wrote the book, What Does the Bible Say About That? Which, by the way, is a basic introduction to a biblical worldview for 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds. I hope that lots of folks pick up that resource because we've already got several thousand out there in hands of families all across America. But I would like to see hundreds of thousands of families take this basic summary of a biblical worldview and teach it to their children. But, Dave, more than that, it's also, I think, strong families. And homeschooling, I mean, granted, not every homeschool family is a strong family, but it is an attempt to bring that about. It is an attempt. Homeschooling, not a panacea. Homeschooling can really blow it. A lot of homeschoolers have blown it. But friends, at least there is some effort to reintegrate the family and hopefully create some basic family morality. And that, friends, becomes the basis for liberty because, as Benjamin Franklin said, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. Either you're going to have strong morality, strong families, and strong family structures, and good fathering, and good discipleship happening in those homes, and good morality for the people, or you will find yourself tyrannized by government, big time. And Benjamin Franklin understood this. William Penn understood this. This was basic to the worldview of those who founded this nation. They understood that you cannot have liberty unless you have self-government. And that's why I think homeschooling, Dave, is making some progress. It's making some progress not just in encouraging the idea of liberty from government and hopefully the reduction of the size of government in the area of education, economics, politics, and medicine and all the rest, but it also involves the strengthening of the nuclear family in a day in which the family is increasingly disintegrated.
Evan, according to R.J. Rushdoony, rabbis used to teach that a son was a bastard, that is an illegitimate son, unless his father now, taught him two things. One was the law of God, ethics. The second was a trade. We now outsource those things to the government school, i.e. to the government. The government has become the father, and all children are illegitimate in that sense, which is, you know, why have an inheritance then? Why not just tax the inheritance? Because they're illegitimate children anyway.
And they do.
And one of the things that teaches, though, is that the family is sufficient in order to accomplish teaching ethics and teaching a trade. In other words, a self-sufficiency within the home is taught when the family gets together and pools their resources. You don't need the government to come rescue you. You don't need the government to take care of grandpa and grandma. The family can do it. The family has the resources, and as a self-sufficient entity, to take care of the things that God has given for it to take care of. Now, I understand that there are some rare, rare exceptions where the church has to come in and maybe take care of a widow who has no living relatives. But that's the exception, not the rule.
Ron Paul, my friends, is saying the homeschooling movement is playing a significant role in the revolutionary reforms necessary to establish a free society somewhere on planet Earth. And I believe that. I believe that maybe there are little bits and pieces of freedom and liberty and the principles of freedom and liberty taught in other venues. But, friends, for the most part, it's going to be homeschooling that will salvage freedom in the years to come. That's why I want to encourage homeschool leaders, homeschool parents all across America to continue to fight the good fight. Press it forward. Continue on. Grow that movement. Do everything you can. Sacrifice everything you have to establish a God-centered, parent-directed, free from government control form of education that roots itself in the home. That, my friends, is the solution for the future. Do not give up. Whatever you do, do not give up on this. And if your state doesn't have a decent conference, you make a conference, and you continue to encourage homeschoolers and strengthen new ones and bring them in, do the intro seminars, and introduce these concepts of an education free from government control and rooted in relationships and based upon the principle of individuality. And of course, encourage the eminence of character, the preeminence of character in the education of those kids. And friends, again, it's possible to blow it. And there are homeschoolers that do not teach the faith and the character necessary for those young people to grow up and become God's men and God's women and build godly families and a godly country with lots of freedoms and with the kind of courage and faith it takes to bring that about. There are families out there that are just not doing that. They don't have the vision to do it, and they don't have the character. They're not building the character in their kids. And their kids oftentimes are sunk into the pop culture and the peer influence of the day. And that happens to probably almost the majority of the homeschool movement. And probably not 80%, but I'd say 50 to 60% of the homeschooling movement is probably going to be sucked into the pop culture of the day. That's what happens. It's not just about education. It's also about the peer influence of the pop culture. And when they get that pop culture, they will have no vision, and they won't have a real desire to build anything better than what they receive from the pop culture, because that's the culture that disciples the hearts and the minds of the kids. So you've got to be careful as a homeschooler that you wean your family from an educational system that is diametrically opposed to a biblical worldview, but also got to wean your kids off of a pop culture system like Katy Perry that's encouraging your 13-year-old daughter to be a lesbian. You can't have her hanging out with Katy Perry. Sorry. You just can't. You're going to have to change her culture and her education. If you want something different, you've got to unplug from the matrix. Dave, that's the issue, isn't it? All these kids are plugged into a matrix. We got to unplug.
You want to put in a godly and a righteous set of thoughts and ideas, a worldview. You want to protect against unrighteous ones. In other words, we're planting seeds and we're pulling weeds. Too many Christians think that they can just send their kids off to the public schools where they're taught evolutionary constructs, moral, ethical relativism. They're taught social justice instead of real justice. They're not taught that they're sinners, but that they're wonderful human beings, human becomings. They're taught so many bad things, what we would call weeds, and they think that they're going to be able to take them to Sunday school and youth group, apart from mom and dad, by the way, and that's going to just fix everything. Well, it's not fixing anything, and we're seeing that, according to the Southern Baptist Convention, that 80% of children are walking away from the faith, regardless of what the family situation is like. When we send our kids to public school, we're losing 80%.
And Dave, I mean, this is a little off topic, but here's a story that just came over my computer. Apparently, this 13-year-old girl was sadly shot to death Tuesday morning on a school bus in Homestead, Florida, on her way to her charter school near Miami. So, very, very sad story. Her 7-year-old sibling was there witnessing the shooting. A lot of reasons why our children do not need to be in the public schools. And one of the reasons, friends, is that, hey, the character of this nation is in free fall. if you want to be a turkey, hang with turkeys. It's hard to be an eagle when the people you hang with are turkeys. And you've got to find ways to educate your children and protect your children in a different environment and prepare them for the calling that God has for their lives. There are safety reasons. There are worldview reasons. There are academic reasons. There are so many reasons. There are parental reasons, relational reasons. There are discipleship reasons, you know, to have your children in the home so you can just disciple them as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. So many different reasons to homeschool your kids. And I would encourage parents who have never considered this to consider homeschooling their children. You might get a copy of my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to Best Education for Your Child. And that book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, my book is Upgrade. It's the basic introduction to a biblical perspective on education. And it's written very simply for the average parent who just wants to take some basic principles and apply it. And hopefully, by God's blessing, receive a wonderful education for their children. Again, the book is Upgrade the 10 Secrets. And we'll be back in just a moment with just a little bit more on politics, what's happening in government. This is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back in just a moment.
Always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson in the studio with you. In case you're wondering what the banging noise is outside of the studio, it is our Shepherd Center guys building a little shed or storage unit as part of our life integration element of our Shepherd Center, Discipleship Center, out here in Elbert County on the eastern plains of Colorado. Well, friends, as we wrap up the program today, just one quick story. And Dave, I think this is important, and I realize it's just an add-on to some of the things we've been saying on today's broadcast, but there is a Senate bill right now that is somewhat concerning, and I think we ought to just, you know, pay attention to some of these stories. The Senate bill will rewrite and let the feds read your email without warrants. Apparently, somebody has modified the bill. A Senate proposal touted as protecting Americans' email privacy has been quietly rewritten, giving government agencies more surveillance power than they possess under current law. CNET has learned. Patrick Leahy, the influential Democratic chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has dramatically reshaped his legislation in response to law enforcement concerns. According to three individuals who have been negotiating with Leahy's staff over the changes, a vote on his bill, which now authorizes warrantless access to Americans' email, is scheduled for next week. Leahy's rewritten bill would allow more than 22 agencies, including the Securities and Exchange Commission, Federal Communications Commission, et cetera, to access Americans' email. Google Doc files, Facebook will posts, and Twitter direct messages without a search warrant. I mean, Dave, that's just shocking. I mean, I didn't realize it was so easy for that to happen. Apparently, the recent story, you remember the recent story concerning law enforcement officers who were accessing the general's email? And you remember that story. Apparently, if the nation's top spy can't hide his personal communications from law enforcement, a lot of people are asking, who can? This is Politico.com. Even though the snooping uncovered an unflattering story about the general, it puts questions about digital privacy back in the news. The privacy law does little to shield Americans' emails. Law enforcement agents generally don't need a search warrant to request access from an email provider to those messages if they're older than 180 days. I have no idea. If your messages are older than 180 days, I guess it's open season to anybody who wants it. An issue in an era when email storage seems limitless and most consumers' inboxes are overflowing with notes that might contain personal information that's saved there for ease. Well, Dave, I mean, this is something I've been saying a number of times in the past, but I think it's important for us to expect that government eyes and the eyes of the public and the eyes of people you may not want watching your personal life are probably reviewing your personal life even as we speak. I'm tempted to put a little byline on every single email from now on, just a little byline, just not just remind ourselves, but to remind others that this kind of stuff is going to be going on or is going on right now. So here's a little byline, Dave, a little message for the government agent that reveals this email. Any correction of grammar and spelling would be appreciated. And then maybe a little psalm too. Be wise, ye judges of the earth. Kiss the sun, lest ye perish from the way when his anger is kindled. But a little, you know, something, maybe a little, you know, poke there.
Well, Kevin, I think that we need to be wise and understand that Big Brother is watching. Big Brother has decided that, you know, the rights to privacy, to being protected in your persons, in your papers, in your possessions, and those no longer apply. That was for a different country. That was for a country that followed the Constitution. Yeah. We're now the country where you get molested at the airport by official government workers on minimum wage. We're now the we now live under the government that snoops your emails and your text messages. I have article after article. I mean, we have Google who's worried about a UN net conference. They say this is the end of the free and open internet. The stuff that you want to get to, you're not going to be able to get to. It's going to be censored. You know that your text messages, they're being read. You know that your emails, they're going to be read. You have no confidence to believe that Google or MSN or Apple is not going to be selling your information to other companies. If the government can have access to it, why not Humana Healthcare? Well, because Humana Healthcare is going to be bankrupt once Obamacare comes along. But why not McDonald's or whomever so that you can be monitored by all the different agencies? You see all those light on top of those stoplights? We used to call them go lights, but they're stoplights. You see all those cameras?
Yeah, they take pictures of you. Yeah.
A friend of mine has a nice little picture of himself running a red light.
Yeah, sure.
And that was enough to convict him.
A lot of my friends have shown me pictures like that. Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible what happens.
And they're not just doing that. In Maryland, they're actually tracking locations of cars not wanted for anything, just knowing where every car is at every moment of the day, your cell phone, every moment of the day. You have no privacy.
Dave, all of this, of course, unbiblical. All of this unbiblical. And anybody who's a Christian in politics ought to fight every single aspect of this tooth and nail. Even little city councils where they're thinking about putting those cameras up there. They ought to fight these attempts for human governments to attain total sovereignty and be like God and watch every move you make and try to prosecute every single possible crime that could possibly happen and institute perfect justice on planet Earth. Even King David was punished for one lousy census, Dave.
That's right.
Lousy census. All he wanted to do was count the heads.
And it was
God brought him to task on that. And God was upset with that system of government for bring that level of violation of privacy and, of course, the attempt for the state to be sovereign in that situation. So, Dave, this whole idea that the state needs to be sovereign, the state needs to know how many people are in any given state or in any given society, the idea that the state needs to govern every single aspect of life is the state becoming God, and God does not appreciate it. That's exactly what he showed David when he brought about a tremendous slaughter upon the children of Israel because he wanted to send the message home to that government that he will have no truck with that government turning into a tyranny that violates the privacy of the people and tries to turn itself into the sovereign, all-seeing God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a fundamental problem right now with our government.
Kevin, this isn't the only problem. The problem is this government does not live by the same set of laws the citizens must live by. Lex Rex, the law is king. We actually have a Rex Lex. The king believes he is law.
Or populi Lex, the people believe their law.
Well, right now, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. Apparently, the EPA, not the only government organization that's been caught red-handed now, has been using secret email lists to hide what's going on in the EPA from government oversight. What we must reveal, the government ought to reveal. If I need to have a birth certificate, I expect that the president ought to be able to produce a birth certificate. If I have to show my college records, I expect the president ought to be able to show his college records. If the government needs to know where I am at any given moment or what's in my emails, I expect that the people to get that information from their governments.
The government is God and we're the slaves. And I think that's what's happening here, my friends. We're turning into a slave state. And it's time for some of us to acknowledge this. And granted, the way in which we will become free from these tyrannies will be, if the Son will make us free, we will be free indeed. And that comes by way of personal morality, by way of God overcoming the temptation to sin, pornography, addictions to these sorts of things in our own lives. When that happens, God visits freedom to a land, but it becomes a freedom that works its way from individual freedom from the bonds of slavery and sin to a liberty from the unnecessary servitude of men. And that's the direction, hopefully, we're going to go as a nation. But we need to get down on our knees, Dave, and pray for the Son to make us free, because this nation is becoming the most tyrannized state probably the world has ever known. The Roman Empire certainly did not violate freedoms and violate privacies and impose a compulsory attendance law upon all 60 million people in the empire. The Roman Empire didn't do a tenth of the kind of tyrannical stuff that our governments are doing in our present day. And so we're hoping that there will be just some little flicker of a desire for freedom in the hearts of the hundreds of thousands of people that tune into this radio station. And if so, let me encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower. This is a vision for freedom for the future, my friends. For those of you who are just now getting out of the matrix, or for those of you who are just now abandoning the public indoctrination centers, the public schools systems, and you're finally realizing that there is a possibility for freedom when we pull away from these things and we begin to embrace the God-given responsibilities that He has given us to raise our children and to educate them as we ought to. When they realize that there is a possibility for these kinds of things, people run with the ball. Get a vision, friend. Get a vision, my friends. You need to get a vision. And I would encourage you to keep listening to the radio program. Also, get a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, if you get a chance, at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.